The executive committee of the World Anti-Doping Agency approved unanimously the decision of the Compliance Review Committee to assert non-compliance on the Russian Anti-Doping Agency for a period of 4 years. So with that come certain consequences. These consequences were clearly outlaid previously in advance of the meeting. So they were approved in their entirety. All those recommendations have been approved by the Exco today, and a number of strict conditions of readmission, reinstating Russia when the time comes. So that's what was decided today, and it was a unanimous decision by all 12 members of the Exco.
So that's the news we woke up to this morning here in Melbourne and here in Australia, that Russia have been banned from international competition for the next 4 years. It is a significant world story, and we're delighted to have Tariq Panja from the New York Times join us this morning to tell us everything that we need to know. Tariq, thanks for your time.
Yeah, good to be with you.
Significant in many ways, isn't it? I mean, I think the thing to take out of this straight away that was overwhelming, even that piece of audio that we played, is it was a very much a unanimous decision by WADA.
It was a unanimous decision in the sense that they only had two options, either accept this suite of recommendations, including banning Russia from international sporting events, Russian officials, etc., for 4 years, or they would have to send it back. Some of the members, including the Vice President, Linda Helleland from Norway, wanted to go even further. They wanted a blanket ban. And we can get into that a little bit now. This ban is a ban on Russia, but technically not on all Russian athletes. So what we're going to see is teams from Russia with Russian uniforms essentially banned from major events like the Olympics and the Football World Cup, but not Russian athletes who have been vetted.
So
we've seen that before. The last Olympics, for example, there was a team of essentially Russians. But they weren't representing the Russian Olympic Committee. So the devil's going to be in the detail here.
So just on the length of the ban, 4 years, and as you say, some wanting more, is the feeling overall amongst others covering this story and even sports fans that you may have communicated with, is the feeling that it's over or under or about right? What's been the immediate reaction?
I would say, I think because there's a lot of bad blood. Like, it's a four-year ban, but this crisis dates back 5 years. The Russians don't seem to want to accept the damage they've done to the international sports arena. They've doubled down. First of all, they did an industrial-scale doping program, and now they've tried to do an industrial-scale cover-up program. So the Russians are incorrigible, a lot of people think. And they aren't sure that these penalties are sufficient. On the surface, a four-year ban from Russia is a massive slap in the face. You know, it's humiliating. There's international headlines all over the world. I mean, I'm talking to you here from Geneva. You guys in Australia, it is a big, big story, and it is humiliating for Russia. However, the fact that, for some people, the fact that Russian athletes might still and certainly will be able to in some way participate on the sporting fields around the world, even though their country's banned, that still sort of sticks in the craw. It's kind of not enough because this has happened before and Russia still haven't learnt their lesson.
Tariq, how long has this investigation been going for? We, off the top of the show this morning, we spoke about a documentary that we've all watched based on, it's called Icarus off Netflix, and it gives you a really good insight about the systematic cheating and how many people are involved in it. How long in this particular investigation has it been going for to be able to come out with this four-year ban overnight?
Well, the scandal itself was unearthed in 2014. I was talking to someone, it's a quarter of my working career I've spent covering this story, which is kind of incredible. And since 2015, there have been various investigations, two different ones by WADA into the doping scheme, two other ones by the International Olympic Committee. And then this most recent one was after Russia had been reinstated. There was just one main condition anyway, left. Can you please give us the data in the Moscow laboratory so we can finally get to grips with the scale of it and to name names, to figure out who actually cheated so because they can be punished, and there's probably in the world scores of individuals, athletes, who have medals that they don't know about. You know, those who came fourth, fifth, etc. in various world championships, they deserve their medals because they performed cleanly, they participated without taking drugs, and then they should be given their medals. So that's all that was asked for. And then Russia essentially manipulated thousands of files, deleted other files, in an effort to sabotage this effort. You know, it kind of beggars belief after the scale of that doping program was uncovered that they've now done this.
Or do you expect?
I was talking to one of the investigators, and you know, there is a sense that at least 145, possibly a lot more than that, suspicious cases, will now never be solved.
Would you expect Russia to appeal this? We've got the Olympics next year. Is this going to go through the court system? And when does it ultimately, this ban is the ban, and that's just the end of the story?
Right. I expect Russia definitely to appeal it, because Russia love appealing everything.
Yeah.
That's one of their tactics. It kind of slows things down. So the next stage is Russia, I believe, will decide on December the 19th if they will lodge an appeal. That will be with the Court of Arbitration for Sport. WADA want an expedited process. It's not entirely up to them. Russia would have to agree to that. And even with the expedited process, we're looking at March or April, so just a couple of months before the Tokyo Olympics, where we could get a final decision here. And if Russia slow it down, it could drag on beyond the Tokyo Olympics. And the ban only kicks in once it's final. So then we're looking at the Paris Olympics 4 years after that. But, you know, we're all getting old.
Yeah.
You know, with this scheme. You know, we're getting tired. The only people who don't seem to be getting tired are the Russians.
Tariq, as we let you go, what does the process now look like for, you know, if we want to live in the world where it's glass half full and we think that there are some clean Russian athletes, what does the process look like for them if they want to compete under a neutral flag going forward? How do they prove that they're clean?
Right. Right. The best example is to see what the IAAF, World Athletics, which is now known as, has done. Russia remains banned with them, the only organisation that continues to keep banned from 2015. However, it allows specially vetted Russian athletes to appear as authorised neutral athletes. They have no Russian colours, and these people, these men and women, they have to prove that they have had no access to the Russian sports system. Essentially, they've been trained overseas and they've been tested overseas. It's quite a rigorous scheme. And it meant that very, very few, if any, I think there was just a handful of Russians at the most recent World Championships in Doha. And I believe that is how it's going to be extended to other organisations. And WADA will be the ultimate arbiter of who's allowed to participate and who isn't.
Still a long way to go in this story, but it's a significant development that's happened overnight here in Australia. Tariq, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.